made Finding Nemo so great wasn't just the story, but it was that the people from Pixar literally went to the EAC and spent hours and days there researching the current, researching it all, so when they finally put that in the actual movie, it was realistic.
Hello there, my name is Monica Burns, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. I'm a former New York City public school teacher and started the Easy EdTech Podcast in 2019 to share my favorite tips, tricks, and strategies for technology integration. You'll hear stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and my travels to different EdTech events. Each episode is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. So don't forget to head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. If you're listening to this episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or another podcast player, you'll see the show notes link in the description too. Looking for an easy and effective way to stay in touch with all your families? Talking Points, our sponsor today, is the answer, and it's totally free. From translation in 125 languages to sending links, files, photos, and videos with translated captions, it's much more than just messaging. You can even add quick polls to answer questions that would otherwise end up as lost or crumpled forms in backpacks. Families can use text messaging or download the free Talking Points for Families app to benefit from additional features like speech-to-text, text-to-speech, and Ed 101 that helps families understand common educational terms to further break down barriers. Talking Points for Teachers is available for free on iOS and Android, and you can sign up on the web at talkingpoints.org/Monica. talkingpts.org/Monica. This week's episode is titled The Future of EdTech and Using Movies in the Classroom with Andre Dotti. And I'm so excited for you to listen to this episode. Andre and I are both featured speakers at the FETC conference taking place at the end of January. It's in New Orleans, and if you're planning on being there, make sure to reach out and let me know. I love this event, and I'm so honored to have been invited back as a featured speaker again. And this year, as I mentioned, FETC is taking place in New Orleans. I'll share all the details for the event in the show notes for today, as well as a list of the sessions that Andre is doing, the sessions that I am doing too. In our conversation, we chat about FETC and the future of EdTech. But we also talk about one of the big themes from his long list of sessions, which is using videos and movies in the classroom. Let's dive in. Welcome to the podcast today. I am so excited to chat with you. And before we dive into all things ed tech and FETC and videos and movies in the classroom, would love to just start off with hearing a bit about your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
Yeah. Hi, friends. Andre Dotti here, born and raised right here in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I was that kid in the classroom who was always making noise. I'm sure you have people like that in your classroom right now. And I'm just so elated that it's come full circle, where the kid who was always the troublemaker, so to say, the kid who could do the work but then was bored after the work, the kid who was always doing the talking, now gets the opportunity to always do the talking. So I am that person. I am now an instructor of learning and facilitating here, there, a little bit of everywhere. I find my work doing more as an educational consultant, where I get the honor to serve educators and staff members and, you know, colleges and schools of colleges at different universities and things like that. And I just get to inspire them to look a little beyond what the day-to-day normally looks like inside of their class. Like, open up the creativity all over again, inspire them, motivate them, encourage them to dream big and to think bigger inside of class, because our students have been dreaming bigger and have been thinking in creativity. Now I'm just trying to bridge it all together.
Nice. Well, I mentioned in the intro our FETC featured speaker connection. And so we'll talk more about that during the episode today. But, you know, as we're thinking about all things ed tech, I love to kind of start off with just, you know, what you're seeing now in the work that you do and all the spaces that you get to spend time in. You know, what are some of the challenges facing educators who want to make the most of technology and digital tools in their classrooms?
Yeah, the thing that I am seeing the most, and I really, it transitioned COVID. Remember when, you know, pre-COVID, everybody was kind of in their own silos, doing their own thing in their own way, in their own path. And then the world shut down. And we as educators had to flex and had to adjust, I mean, at a blink of an eye. And what I notice and what I see now, before then, it was like, we want to integrate technology and embed it in the curriculum. And, you know, they ed tech integration specialist. Mm-hmm. And then that all got thrown out of the way. It's no longer we want to. It is a part of today's vernacular. It is just what education is. Back in our day, I'll date myself here. We used to finish the work in class, you know, finish the work at your desk, at your table, and then you go to that center, that station, that rotation. You'd have on the listening center and be those good things that would plug in all. And we call that technology. And that was different from educators, is now they have embraced that, where it's no longer we want to try to use our iPads or our Chromebooks or whatever devices that they may have.
Yeah, I mean, there's been such a big shift over the past few years, as you mentioned. And, you know, I think that idea of being in a silo, like you said, right, just a few things that might have happened in these smaller ways, right? Now the conversation has changed so much, right? And there's just a lot more, I would say, just a lot more conversations in general about what's out there, what's a best practice, what, you know, is the future going to look like? And I'm excited to jump into this idea of the future of ed tech with you, as I mentioned, specifically with that involvement with the FETC conference happening in January. Before I pressed record here, I know I said like it's going to be here so soon, right? Just a couple months away. Before we talk about that future of ed tech or what you kind of predict or see coming, I noticed that you had two sessions on the schedule connected to video, right? One that was using movies in the classrooms, another on YouTube. You know, how is video a powerful learning tool?
So I'm going to be brutally transparent right here with you right now. Before we jumped on this Zoom, I had just purchased a new truck. You know, we teach, we don't have much money, but I purchased a used truck and it was really inexpensive because there's a lot of things that's kind of broken with it. And instead of me going to a mechanic to fix some of those little small things, you know, at outrageous prices, I just went to YouTube and everything so far, they were like, oh, this is how you do this. I'll give an example. One of them is the little, you remember the, it's not like a 12 volt, but it's like a 10 volt that you plug in to get power for your phone. We used to have, it was the cigarette lighter. Remember those?
Yeah.
That's broken. So I went on YouTube and it's like, this is how you pop it out. This is how you get a new one. So I went to Amazon, got it on Amazon Prime. Went ahead, plugged it in. It's just a simple plug and play. Plugged it in, pushed it back in. It's working. There is another one that was broken. And I was like, well, instead of doing another cigarette lighter, I wonder if they have a 12 volt, like a three prong, like most of our homes. And Amazon does. So then my second question was, has anyone else ever thought of doing that? So I went right back to YouTube and plugged it in. And there are so many people who's like, this is how you do it. It won't break your car. Your car will not burn. It will not blow up. Plug it in. So if I'm doing this on something for me, I'm sure everyone in this world is now using video to be a part of the learning experience. And then I think of my son who loves Xbox and PlayStation. And one day his joystick broke. And then they always talk about if you break the seal, you've broken the warranty. The warranty's been gone. So what did he do? He went to YouTube, flipped it over. They showed him exactly what to move, how to change it, how to clean it, how to fix it. It's back to normal and running. And so I really believe video is playing a better part in education from in the past. Have you ever had anything that you've like seen on YouTube? It's Andre now. I'm curious. Have you like gone on YouTube to learn to fix, to create?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you bet. It's so funny. As you were talking about that car story, I remember a couple years ago, I was like, my toilet was making a funny noise. And I immediately was like, I can solve this, right? I went on YouTube. I found, like, I had my hand down the back of the tank. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I can do this and play the video at the same time, you know, but just that instinct was there. Like, these how-tos are out there. I can pause, I can replay, I can slow it down, I can turn on the captions, right? And so all of those strategies, you know, just like you mentioned, right, are so authentic, are so built into our everyday experiences, right? We go to Google and sometimes a YouTube video, right, pops up as a response, right? It's not just those pieces. So I'm so appreciative that you mentioned that example, because, you know, we know that there are students who have all sorts of, you know, technical issues they might come across, just things they're curious about, like, I bet you can, or I wonder if, right? Sentence starters. And they go out there and they find those answers to those questions. So, you know, when we talk about this medium of video, right, so many tutorials, so many great things that are out there, you know, what about movies, right? Are you noticing that that type of content is resonating with students?
Yeah, the same way how YouTube is now like the second most popular in the world and everybody goes to it. Everybody is now making connections through movies. So back in the 80s, once again, I'm dating myself here, but back in the 80s when the action used to just be Arnold or Sylvester, and they would do this kick and it would just be just so outrageous, like the Karate Kid, you know, when he did the crane kick. It was so crazy. We were like, yeah, okay, that's cool. You know, happy ending. But now today's viewers are so much more intelligent, where they analyze the script, they analyze the video, they're analyzing everything. And the next thing you know, they're like, that's not realistic. I can't understand why, but the physics don't play out there. And so today's students are that same way. Today's students will look at a movie and say, is that real? And so now all of our movies are now having to put real elements in. I'll give you a perfect example, Finding Nemo. What made Finding Nemo so great wasn't just the story, but it was that the people from Pixar literally went to the EAC and spent hours and days there researching the currents, researching it all. So when they finally put that in the actual movie, it was realistic. I'll give you another example. SpongeBob. Now, SpongeBob to us is just a wacky cartoon. But if you actually research, SpongeBob has a lot of scientific elements in the ocean in each episode. And then you could go down the rabbit hole on YouTube if you wanted to, how it is actually a part of a volcano called the Atoll, A-T-O-L-L, how that explosion from a nuke actually helped form what SpongeBob and Bikini Bottom is. Like, you could go down that rabbit hole, but that's what today's students are doing. Today's students just don't see a movie for movie's sake now. They still enjoy it, but now they want to see the facts. There are so many YouTube channels of people who are now analyzing movies and giving you all the Easter eggs that you missed. And so our students are very, 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 very interested in this. And so that's where it came in for one of my sessions, like the real lesson within. I realized that a lot of my students were asking, Mr. Dowdy, have you seen this? Mr. Dowdy, have you seen that? And I hadn't seen a lot of their movies. And the more I started watching their movies, the more lessons I started to see in those movies. The metaphors, the symbolism, behind the scenes things, the Easter egg. And we started having conversations on those. And then you start to see like characteristics pull forth on integrity, on perseverance, on being honest. I mean, all of these different character traits were in these movies that a lot of the students didn't know. And so I started to use movies more in the classroom. Now that I'm outside of the classroom, I still use those movies just to help us as educators to see you can play that movie in a lesson or during a teaching moment to give them opportunities to learn as well.
I love those authentic connections and just the vocabulary building, the context, the, like all the things that you're saying right now, as we think about the role of technology in the classroom, it might have been possible in the past, but now it's just way more accessible, right? We can find that. You don't have to go to Blockbuster, right? And hope that the video is there and get to the very good part and hope that everything works, right? Yeah. But now we can pull up just that clip, right? Or we can show that piece or modeling those lifelong learning strategies, just like you mentioned, right? Or, you know, how this place came to be or the research that goes into it. And I think with, you know, students often taking on a creator role, right? More frequently, right? Making their own videos, they're way more prepared for the what if or how did they do that or I'm not sure, like, or did they have permission for that song, right? How does that work kind of conversation. So, you know, you shared a few already, but, you know, if there's a teacher listening who wants to bring more movies into their classroom, do you have any, you know, great tips to share with them?
Yes, literally look at the movie from that lens. For me, it was, I had two kids at the time. And once again, teacher salary, we don't make a whole lot of money. So we literally went to the Blockbusters and the Red Boxes and rented Pixar movies. And after watching The Incredibles for about 200 times, you got to think differently to get through the movie. That's literally what happened. Start watching it and I was like, this clip is really teachable. Or the same with any other Pixar. Oh my, that little clip. Oh yeah. That is. And now I'm looking at every movie from a different perspective. I can't just watch a movie just to watch a movie now. Endgame, Avengers, I was like, oh, this is good action. But where's the teaching lesson? You know, Moana, I was watching Moana with my daughter. And towards the end of it, she has the heart of Te Fiti in her hand. And I'm like, this is it. Oh, this is a teachable moment. And I even find myself going back to like some of our classics and looking at them through a different perspective. I'll share this one with you real quick. I was hanging out with some high school students. We're all in class. You know, we're talking good things. And they were telling me how much they hated remake and how and I'm like, okay, say more. And they were talking about how they hated the new Karate Kid. With
Cobra Kai, yeah.
No, with Jaden Smith.
Oh, the movie. Oh, yeah. The movie.
They hated it because they had seen the older one.
Yeah, and totally.
So I flipped the switch on them and said, did you know that the older version, Ralph Macchio, which is the protagonist, he's actually the antagonist? And they all gave me a funky look, like, whatever. I said, no, really, the villain of the movie is him. And I had them all pause. And I knew right then at that moment that I hooked them. A friend of ours, Kevin Honeycutt, talks about hook them and cook them. You got to throw the line and hook them. And then once when they're motivated, then you can cook them and you can open their minds wherever. And so I stunned the entire class, right?
Yeah.
And I said, well, go back and watch the movie. He was the one at the beach. It was him who threw the first blow. It was him talking noise. It was him who threw the stuff and went running down the alley. He was the person who started it all. And by that time, the entire class is in an uproar.
Yeah.
And I loved it because I had hooked them. And so we discussed almost 15, 20 minutes just on that. And I think that's the power of media today, where sometimes you see one perspective and you kind of get that in your head of this is the only way. But if you shift just a little and be open-minded, you could probably see a different perspective. And so then all of them for the rest of the day was like, Mr. Dowdy, you blew my mind. And I wanted to take credit for it. I really did. But watched on YouTube a few months before that someone else went down that rabbit hole and explained it to me on YouTube, how Ralph Macchio was actually Daniel's actually the antagonist and compelling argument. So of course, then I give it to the English teacher. Mm-hmm. And now the English teacher was like, what am I supposed to do with this? And I was like, you could easily talk perspective.
Yeah.
Like you could talk, you know, we're citing sources here. We're looking at evidence of which way is actual the way. And it was such a great time. I hated that I had to leave that group that day because they were hooked.
Yeah.
They were ready to do a film study with me just to dig into how Mr. Miyagi and Danielson were actually the evil ones. Mr. Miyagi, like, he's actually a cop. Was like, exactly.
I would really love that. No, just the ability to spark a discussion, right? Or any time where there's going to be a strong feeling or, right, that disruption of what we take to be true, right? And that's such a fun example. I love that. And now I need to think a little bit on this, especially as I think back to Cobra Kai and the Netflix.
Please,
stuff
go down
and
the
like
rabbit
all
hole.
The things, right? I need to go down.
Yeah,
totally need to go down that rabbit hole. And, you know, even as you were talking about, right, that YouTube connection, right? Or hearing that argument first, right, on a YouTube video from a creator. I think it's just such a great reminder that there's so much lifelong learning built into these viewing experiences. Like, I find myself having to, you know, rewind or press pause because now I've been looking at Wikipedia for 5 minutes of this movie to find out, like, did that really happen? Is this, like, which part of this is based in truth, right? And I mean, there's so much to go there. And I'm excited for, you know, your sessions. I know you've got those two FETC that are with that video and movie connection. But before we talk about some of your predictions for the future of EdTech, that FETC. Can you share a little bit more about the other topics that are on your schedule?
Yes. Another one is called The Classroom Starts with Culture. And in this one, we discuss, like, how do you actually set up a classroom where everyone's voice is heard, where everyone feels loved, appreciated, and not just tolerated? And then what does that look like from a leadership perspective? How so many of our teachers, I was doing some research, and one of them said that the majority of the teachers who leave a school or leave the district, it isn't because of the money, it's because they didn't feel loved and appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
So from an administrative, a leadership perspective, how do you set that culture up where everyone's voice is heard, where everyone is giving their best, where everyone's abilities and talents are being used and not just, you know, you do it my way and that's it. Like, how do you bring everyone together? And through that, we share some stories, some strategies, some tips, some tricks. And then once again, I want to shift perspective. I think that's one of the things I love to do is just share truth on, you know, what happens in education and why it happened. And then how can we flip it and switch it so it doesn't happen for others? So that's a classroom that starts with culture. And then another one that I am sharing, it is called From Preschool to Prison and how to shift that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is a tough pill to swallow, but it is a needed pill to swallow in education. Because oftentimes we talk about equity, but we really don't unpack what that really means for all students. When we say we want to teach all students, well, all students have all perspectives. And sometimes we overlook the all in all students. And so we kind of unpack that, what it looks like and how there are traces from preschool through middle school and how they correlate to some of the people who have been in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that one the most because it's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, once again, I share some of my examples. I share just me being a Black man in education and having dealt with some of those pipelines. And if it wasn't for the community and parents and other educators who saw the pipeline happening and said, we are not going to go that route. Here's some other ways to shift it. One of the examples that I share in there, once again, how I told you, I'm always a talker. That's just how I've been. It was always on my report card. Andre is really smart. He talks a lot. that was me. But for some teachers, that talking was, he's talking back too much. And we told him to be quiet. Now he has 4 check marks on the board and detention and suspension. And for others, oh, he's not talking enough. Andre, go explain that over there. Andre, what is your thinking on this? Mm-hmm. Share it for us. Explain it in a different way. And so they embrace my talking compared to other teachers who shut it down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's a balance that had to be taught. And the teachers who showed me that balance were your really good educators.
No,
and so we expect all of that in the session as well.
That's fantastic. And I appreciate you giving us a preview of those sessions that you're doing. And I'm going to include a link where everyone can find your full session and schedule list, which is robust. A lot of things happening, right? It's going to be a busy January event. And, you know, because FETC is focused on that future of ed tech, and you've already made a lot of connections as we've talked today about, you know, that future planning and thinking about all the things that we want students to accomplish and be able to do. But is there anything that you think we're going to see more or less of in 2023 when it comes to ed tech?
Yes. And here's something, and I won't say it's controversial, but I'm just seeing the shift.
Mm-hmm.
And the shift is our technology conferences are going to mesh more with just curriculum. With just strategies. I can recall the years that we would go to ISTE and it was just, here's a new gadget.
Mm-hmm.
And then we as educators would say, how do we use that gadget in our curriculum? Oh, that's a interactive whiteboard, or oh, that's clickers. And then we as educators did like that heavy lifting because they were just selling product and we were trying to connect that product to curriculum. And what I am seeing more of is no longer separate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just seeing the future of ed tech is just education. These are some strategies that we're using. It's no longer called ed tech. It's just called education. That's what I'm seeing. The more and more I'm in these schools around the country and being able to serve and to help other schools, they don't say, hey, Andre, can you give me 5 tips to do Google?
Right.
Like, they're not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of, okay, so I was in Google Classroom and I was trying to blah, 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 blah. And for whatever reason, my students, they couldn't connect this to that, to this, to that. And so it is a lot more curriculum facing than technology facing. And I'm grateful for that because technology changes so much. I'm loving how so many of our educators are just saying, I want a good educational strategy, not I want a good gadget.
I love that prediction, right? Just, you know, or I should say observation even, right? As we're moving into 2023. And I know that just from looking at the speakers and the session titles, that's definitely going to be a big emphasis, you know, for the conference. And I need to actually count it up and not just guess, but I think this is my 5th or 6th FETC, maybe 7. I don't know. It's been a bunch. So I'm excited for New Orleans, and we'll put all the links out for FETC here where listeners are listening in today. But before we officially finish up, where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
Yes, I am on all the socials because I'm just different. Mm-hmm. I'm on all of the socials, Andre, A-N-D-R-E, Doughty, D-A-U-G-H-T-Y. So wherever you would like to connect, I'm game for it. Let's go, because I think we all learn best together.
Mm-hmm.
And when one wins, we all win. So if I can help you in any way, let's connect and let's go from there.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure to include all of that so people can click and follow along and all of those great things. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
It was so much fun chatting with Andre today, and you can bet that I'm counting down the days to FETC to meet in person and check out the sessions on his schedule. I'll include his full FETC schedule, my list of sessions, and plenty more resources in the show notes for today. Let's finish up, like we always do, with some key points from today's episode. Look through a teaching lens when deciding on movies. Identify teachable moments. Find the hook for students. Share a clip intentionally and spark a discussion.
Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode, including all of the ways to connect with Andre, at classtechtips.com/podcast. And looking for today's episode. Thank you to today's sponsor, Talking Points. Don't forget to visit talkingpoints.org/Monica or download the free iOS or Android app to sign up for Talking Points. With translation in 125 languages to sending links, files, photos, and videos with translated captions, it's much more than just messaging. That's talkingpts.org/Monica. Thank you for tuning in to another Tuesday episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. This way, next week's episode will be waiting for you first thing on Tuesday morning. And if you want to share an idea from the episode with a friend or colleague, text, tweet, or post the link on your favorite social media platform. And of course, you can tag me at Class Tech Tips with any questions.